Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working. Even when I don't feel that you're working. Even when I don't feel that you're working.
Yeah. go back to the beginning. Can't control what tomorrow will bring, but I know here in the middle is the place where you promised to. You call,
will you meet me here again?
'Cause all I want is all you are.
Will you meet me here again?
was I forsaken?
The Lord is in this place.
The Lord is in this place. Come, Holy Spirit, drop bones awaken.
The Lord is in this place.
The Lord is in this place.
Holy name today. He's worthy, y'all. Hallelujah. Let your voice go forth. Say hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Dry bones awaken. Hallelujah. The Lord is in this place. And we thank God for his presence. Lord, we thank you right now for your sweet anointing, God. For your Holy Spirit that has come to see about us, God. We're not going to ask you for anything today. We're just going to thank you for who you are today. Our provider, our healer, our way maker, the wheel in the middle of the wheel. God, our lily in the valley, bright and morning star, our deliverer. God, we thank you today for who you are. Our banner, our peace, God, we lift you up today for who you are. Hallelujah, we thank you. We don't want to ask you for anything. We just want to thank you today. Hallelujah. We reverence you. We honor you. And God, mostly we love you. Thank you for all that you are and all that you've done. In Jesus' precious name we pray. And the people of God say, amen. Give him a praise. Give him a praise. Hallelujah. As you have your seats, give him a praise. Well, we thank God for another opportunity to lift up his name and to be among those who are sanctified, to draw strength from each other. And just thank God for that on today. I know I do. Every time I come among y'all, I get stronger and I can make it a little bit further. So I just thank God for that today. I honor him. Are there any visitors in the building? Any visitors today? Okay, well, everybody looks like they're home, folks. But just in case someone was feeling a little bit bashful, we welcome you to Carpenter Shop International Church. And we welcome our online audience as well. We thank you that you chose to worship with us today. We thank you that you feel the presence of God in this place because you came. And so we thank God for that. Please turn your attention at this time to the monitors for our announcements.
Good morning, Carpenter Shop Church family. We just want to let you know that the Missions Cafe opens every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. Please come by and enjoy some fresh homemade treats, coffee, and you can also pick up these cool t-shirts for only $10.
That's right. One visit to our cafe will help you build relationships in here and offers hope out there.
And if you can't make it by before service at 9 a.m., please remember that we also have it open after service as well every Sunday.
Hope to see you guys today. And don't forget, Wednesday nights are so important to you. You always need that midweek pick-me-up. These are great to get plugged into small groups. We offer Celebrate Recovery, Divorce Care, Adult Bible Study on the Gifts of the Spirit, and Youth Group Ministry for all ages.
Absolutely. Face the middle of your week by connecting with others. Small groups start at 7 p.m. and end at 8 p.m. Only 1 hour out of the middle of your week, but the benefits are eternal. Start in a small group at CSIC this week. Pastor Wallace is also in his series, Revelation, Seven Churches. Don't miss this weekly message that speaks to the heart as Pastor presents applications about how Jesus addressed the churches in the book of Revelation.
You'll be inspired, you'll be challenged, and you'll clearly understand the message that Jesus had for the church then and the message that he has for the church now.
Don't miss Revelation, Seven Churches. CSIC also offers a unique class, which is called the Gals Class, meeting every Sunday morning for girls grades 7 through 12. Each week, Pastor Cassandra meets in room 208 to discuss topics unique to teen girls.
This is an awesome time to connect, and don't forget to invite your friends every Sunday at 9 a.m. in room 208. Also, ladies, we have a Bible study just for us. It's hosted by Julie Rasko, on Thursdays, and we're going to be studying the Sheila Walsh book in the middle of the mess.
This group meets Thursdays each week for fellowship at 6:30, and study begins at 7 p.m.
Join Julie this Thursday and connect with other Carpenter Shop International Church women.
And also, we can't forget
tithes and offering time.
Absolutely. Please don't forget the importance of giving as that we now go into our tithes and offerings. I really love Carpenter Shop.
Me too. It's the best ever.
Get my worship on.
Woo!
Give them a hand clap of praise for that. That was good, right? Well, it is offering time in the sanctuary. Give God a praise. Hallelujah. Time to give back to the Lord what he's given to us. Ushers, it's in your hands.
In the crushing, in the pressing, you are making new eye. In the soil I now surrender, you are breaking new ground. So I yield to you and to your careful hand. When I trust you, I don't need to understand. Make me a vessel. Make me an offering. Make me whatever you want me to be. God, I came here with nothing but all you have given me. Jesus, bring new wine out with me. In the crushing, in the pressing, you are making new wine. In the soil I now surrender, you are breaking new ground. You are breaking new ground. So make me a vessel. Make me an offering. Make me whatever you want. God, I came here with nothing but all you have given me. Jesus, bring new wine out of me. Jesus, bring new wine out of me. 'Cause where there is new wine, there is new
Be sure that you check out Spotify and support Brittany. She's released a single on there. So show your love to her and give her a hand again this morning. She wants that. Well, it's great to see everybody here today. Time changed. I'm sure some people are just waking up scratching their head right now wondering what the heck is going on. I'm supposed to be in church right now. But it's good to see all those of you that came out. You know, we had an excellent time yesterday with the kids. We went to ARU up in Winterville, and the little kids got to jump. The big kids got to jump. You know, everybody had a great time. You know, I never could dunk a basketball, and I was never much of a gymnast, but if you put a trampoline under my feet, I can get some things done. And somebody asked me this morning, you know, are you sore today? Are you feeling a little bit? I said, well, my butt hurts a little bit. It's a little sore. And you know why it's sore? Because it's using muscles there that I have not used in a long, long time. But here's the cool thing about stretching a muscle. When you stretch it, it's sore for a while. But when it heals back up, what is it? It's stronger than it was before. And that goes for our faith and our walk with Jesus. And so if you're not finding yourself stretched, if you don't feel like deep down there's something you need to work on, something that God's calling you to do that maybe is a little bit of a struggle for you, then I suggest you spend some time in prayer with him, because he's looking to stretch you and grow you so that you are stronger each and every day in him. Amen. It's not up for the pastor to lift all the load. He can't be the only one with spiritual muscle around here. We need a house full of spiritual giants, right? Amen. Kids Church is for kids age 3 through 6th grade. And parents, at this time, you can take your kids to the check-in table and pick them up at the end of service. Thank you.
Well, praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise the Lord. How many of you appreciate the worship this morning? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's just stand together in his presence for a moment. Hallelujah. Come on, just offer something from your mouth. The scripture says, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto his name. Praise the Lord. Come on, said the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto his name. Hallelujah. Come on, it'll make you feel better, I promise you. Has he been faithful to you this week? Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Worthy are you, Father. Worthy are you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, we express ourselves to you today, God, because you're worthy. You're worthy. Open us up today. Do surgery on our hearts, Lord. Examine us. Call us to a new place. Call us to a new place, Lord. Make new wine, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. I pray for the preaching of your word today, God. Thank you for those who are watching online, those who are attending to our service today. I pray, Lord, you speak to our hearts. In Jesus' strong name, amen and amen. Come on, why don't you just embrace somebody, high-five somebody, shake somebody's hand. Welcome them to the house of the Lord this morning. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We invite you as well to follow along with us on the church app. Sermon notes are there. Scriptures are there. For those of you who do that, you can save yourself from thumbing scriptures. And the messages are always there. They're in the archives. You can make little comments on the CSIC app. And we've taken all the work out of it for you. All the scriptures are right there in order. And you can follow along real simply. Revelation 7 churches. Today we're talking about the corrupt church. Somebody say, oh me. The corrupt church. I will never forget his counsel. I'll never forget his counsel on the conflict that I faced in the church. I'd come to a situation in one of my churches that I needed some intervention bigger than me. I needed God, absolutely, but I needed someone who knew a little something and had been somewhere perhaps where I hadn't been. How many of y'all know where I'm talking about? I'd come to this situation in one of the churches, a situation that seemed to really put the ministry in a position of possible split and division, of which I feel like is never God's will. How many of you know that sometimes a church will split, go down the road, and they'll always add an adjective or an adverb that seems to make them better than the group they left? Come on. Amen. It's bigger, it's better, it's new. Amen. It's, you know, it's different. Now, that's not every church that's got bigger, better, new in its name. But you watch churches that split, that divide. Sometimes they'll go down the road and they'll create something that is a slur to the place that they left. And I don't believe, you can say, Pastor, you really believe that? I do. I really don't believe that a church split was ever God's will. You say, well, I don't know. We just got a lot of freedom when we left. Well, maybe you should have stayed there and fought for the freedom that God wanted you to have to start with. But I called upon this man, and I needed leadership. I needed wisdom. I needed someone who had perhaps been involved in this thing maybe more than I had. He was older. I had tremendous respect for him, a man who'd pastored the same place for over 30 years. And I called upon the counsel of this dear friend, this seasoned veteran, and I was looking for wisdom. And I described the scenario. I'll never forget it. I was on the phone with him, and I was describing the scenario that I was facing. He said, go ahead, just kind of talk your way through it. And I was talking my way through it, and I was describing the issue in the church. And after a while, I got into a few sentences. And he said, stop. That's enough, Wallace. He said, I got it. I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, let me ask you a question. He pulled me to a place of my input by simply answering a question. He said, what is the first thing that a doctor does when he discovers in a human body that there's cancer? And I said, well, first thing they try to do is have surgery to remove the cancer so that it doesn't spread through the entire body. He said, that's exactly right. He said, this person needs to be removed. Whoa. This person needs to be cut out. This person needs to be extracted from the body, because if they're not dealt with, they will move through that church like a metastasizing cancer. I said, wow. I said, thank you. Okay? Thank you. So in other words, what I'm describing is an internal problem. Somebody say internal. You know, sometimes there, I mean, I lead a number of churches, and sometimes I've noticed some of these churches that are just, I'm just being honest, they were just placed in the wrong spot. How many of you know it matters where you fish? Come on. They were just placed in the wrong spot, maybe from yesteryear, maybe from many, many days gone by, years gone by. They were just placed in the wrong spot. Nobody's there. There's just not people there. And the people that are there have long-standing relationships, perhaps in other churches. And sometimes it's maybe just God's will to just find another congregation, or maybe even bring closure to it and sell church. Some people say, how could you do that? Well, what should you do? You tell me. Sometimes people just can't make it work. But yet those are the external things. Maybe it's geographics. Maybe it's demographics. Maybe just, you know, there's just some factors that you can't change. But then sometimes there's things that are internal. I'm not talking about demographic. I'm talking about the makeup of the church, the DNA of the house that we're talking about. In other words, it's totally an internal problem. We're walking through the words of Christ here in Revelation, and we're looking at the seven churches of Asia Minor, and today we're on the fourth one, and we move to that church in the community, the region, the part of the earth called Thyatira. There was Ephesus, there was Smyrna, there was Pergamos, now Thyatira. You can tell when we're getting close to the end of a series, can't you? Thyatira, that church that Christ, if you look at the letters, it's the one that Christ wrote the longest letter to. He said more to this church than he did any other church. And he was speaking to this church in the essence of what I just talked about. He said, you've got a cancer. You've got something inside of you that unless it's dealt with, unless the very thing that is going on in the church is dealt with, then it will sweep through your church like a cancer. It was a corrupt issue. Revelation chapter 2, verses 18 to 29. We're going there today. Look at what he says here. To the pastor of the church in Thyatira, to the angel of the church in Thyatira, write, these are the words of the Son of God, whose eyes are like blazing fire and whose feet are like burnished bronze. He's a strong standing Savior. He's been through the fire himself. He understands. And if you go back to John's revelation of Christ, he says, you know, his head and his hair were white like wool and his feet were like burnished bronze. And he said, I saw his eyes and they were like piercing fire. And John then says something. He says, I was slain in the spirit. Notice he doesn't fall backwards. He falls forward. You say, how do you know that? I fell at his feet as though I were dead. So when you give way in the Holy Ghost, why don't you just put God to the full gamut and just fall forward? Amen. The catcher standing behind you is going to wonder, what in the world's going on? You hit the floor face first. Amen. How many are willing to try that one? Come on, if it's God, you'll be all right, okay? Amen. I promise you. He says, his eyes were like blazing fire, whose feet were like burnished bronze. Verse 19, I know your deeds, your love and faith, your service, your perseverance, that you're now doing more. Somebody say more. You're now doing more than you did at first. So here's some commendation. Nevertheless, verse 20, I have this against you. You tolerate, underscore that word, you tolerate that woman Jezebel. She calls herself a prophet. How many of you know that there are a lot of self-proclaimed prophets in the land today? You got to call them prophet so-and-so, prophetess so-and-so. They'll put this long tag on their name. That's sometimes a giveaway. Sometimes it's not, but sometimes it's a giveaway. You got to address me the right way. I told the Bible study Wednesday night, I have a friend that he has an earned doctrine, and if you don't use the DR in front of his name, he'll correct you. I have a friend who says that he's an apostle, and if you say, hey, pastor, how you doing? He says, apostle. So here in the church here, it says that there's this woman, Jezebel, who she calls herself a prophet. You notice that it's not a term that's ascribed to her. She calls herself a prophet. So this is a first century prophet. No wonder we have it in the 21st. By her teaching, she misleads my servants. Though she calls herself way up here, he said, by her teaching, she misleads my servants into what? Sexual immorality and the eating of food offered to idols. He says, verse 21, I've given her time. I've given her time to repent of her immorality, but she is unwilling. So I will cast her on a bed of suffering. And I will make those who commit adultery with her suffer intensely, maybe more than her. Unless they repent of her ways. I will strike her children dead. Then all the churches will know that I am he who searches the hearts and the minds, and I will repay each of you according to your deeds. Now I say to the rest of you in Thyatira, to you who do not hold to her teaching and have not learned Satan's so-called deep secrets. Wonder what this woman was teaching these folks. If you really want to go to the deep things of God, meet me at the church on Friday morning. Wonder what she was telling these people. If you really want to go to the deeper place. He says, verse 25, except hold on to what you have until I come. To the one who's victorious and does my will to the end, I'll give you authority over the nations. You know that's an apocalyptic statement that one day Christ is going to rule and reign on the earth in 1,000 years, and you know, and we're going to be in charge. How many of you know that Christians one day will be in charge? He says that one will rule them with an iron scepter and will dash them to pieces like pottery, a reference to the Christ. Just as I received authority from my Father, I will also give that one the morning star. Whoever has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Look at verse 18. He says, to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these are the words of the Son of God. There's titles ascribed to him. He's the Son of God. In the Bible, you'll find Jesus talked about in many terms. He's the Son of God. He's the Son of Man. That was his favorite title to be addressed by, the Son of Man. Preachers have their favorites. Mine's pastor. Not bishop, not reverend, not doctor. I'd rather be called pastor. Because it reveals the issues of my heart. He says, these are the words of the Son of God, whose eyes, somebody say eyes, are like blazing fire, whose feet are like burnished bronze. It's interesting that Jesus opens his address differently to every church. Every church that you look at out of the seven, Jesus will come with an opening statement and ascribe to himself credentials. He'll pull his license out. He'll tell you who he is, but he always tells you in a different way. Here he says, I'm the one whose eyes are like a blazing fire. In other words, I want to let you know, church, I see the whole deal. He's no different here. He introduces himself to the church as the one who has a piercing gaze. How many of you were raised with a dad who had a piercing gaze? Come on. How many of you were raised in such a way that your dad... Come on, Josh. Scratch that. Well, maybe so. That's the way I was raised. I don't ever remember my dad putting a hand on me. That's not true in this case. Okay. But my dad could look at you, and you knew full well by the look in his eyes that he was displeased and there was judgment coming. If you didn't get yourself together, he was going to deal with you. Jesus says he's the one whose eyes are like a blazing fire. He has this piercing gaze. He can look right through you. He can see through every facade. He can see through every costume. He can see through every fraud. He can see through every fake. You can fake your friends. You can fake your pastor. You can fake out neighbors. You can fake out the folk you work with. But can I just tell you something, church? You can't fake God out. His eyes are of fire. He sees beyond the veil of our counterfeit. It'll be a good place to interject this thought and this message right here. What is it that you are faking? What is it that you're able to keep from your friends, you're able to keep from your pastor, perhaps you're able to keep this from your neighbor, you might even be able to keep this from your family, but you know it's not kept from the one who sees, who has eyes of fire. Paul said to the church at Rome, there was coming a day when the secrets of every man will be laid bare. I like this. Look at the King James. It says, in that day when God will judge the secrets of men, how's he going to judge them? According to the gospel. He's going to judge the secrets of men according to his gospel. Look at what the New Living Translation says here. And this is the message I proclaim. The days are coming when God, through Christ Jesus, will judge everyone's secret life. Wow. John records that Jesus says, I'm the one who has the eyes of fire, Thyatira. I see you internally. I look right into your church services. I look right into DNA of your ministry. And the Son of God says this to the church in verse 19, I know your deeds. I know your love and your faith. Look at the progression of what Jesus says about them. It's a positive thing. There's a positive thing here. I know your work. I know your deeds. I know your love. I know your faith. I know your service. What you're doing for that community. I know your perseverance, which tells us that they had been through some things. How many of you know that if you're going to be a church, you're going to go through some things? He says, I know your perseverance. And that you're now, look at this, you're now doing more than you did when you started, than you did at first. Thyatira is going to have an indictment in a moment here, but the master who sees wants them to know that he sees it all. So the church is commended for something that these other three churches are not commended for. He says, I want to congratulate you on your charity, on your love. The others were commended for their work, but these guys are commended for their love. Love that starts where? In the heart and works its way outward. This was a church that was serving. This was a church that was touching an area that, like others in Ephesus and Smyrna and Pergamos, they all had their idolatry going on. They all had their negative influences. But Jesus says, you are the church that I want to commend you for your love. fact, there must have been growth in this because Jesus says there was perseverance and there was challenge. And you're doing more than you did when you started. You're growing. The same applies to us. There may be an area in your life that you're faking it on, but it doesn't mean that you don't have good qualities. Let that settle in for a moment. There may be some areas in your life that you're just missing the mark, and you know it. The good thing about it is we don't really need anybody to tell us our sin. The Holy Spirit does a tremendous job in an area we call what? Conviction. We know that when the Word of God comes, when the message is proclaimed, or when we read it, or when we hear it, we know that God sometimes speaks to our heart in a convicting fashion, and we don't need anybody to tell us that we have faults. There might be an area in your life that you're faking it, but that doesn't mean that you don't have good qualities. Have you ever heard someone say something like this, or perhaps maybe you've said it yourself? Man, he's good as gold until he starts drinking. He's a working machine until he starts drinking, and then, well, you know what I mean. Or have you ever heard someone say this? I'll tell you, she's one of my best workers. She is a good worker, but she will tell you a lie and not show up for work sometime. Come on. How many times have you made that call and said, good morning? Morning. Hello? Oh, I didn't even recognize you. Are you feeling bad?
Yeah.
But you made it to Sam's Club by 3 o'clock. Okay? Come on, you know what I'm talking about. He says, I'll tell you, she might be one of the best workers that we have, but I've understood that she will lie to us occasionally. In other words, there is good. This is very good. There's exceptional. She's a great employee. But then there's the one thing. That's the way it was for the church at Thyatira. The Lord was saying there's good, there's good news, but there is a challenge. Look at verse 20. Nevertheless, I have this against you. And I've underscored this word intentionally. You tolerate. It's been said that the sin of toleration is probably the biggest thing that's holding the church back today from being the force, the agent that God has called the church to be. Toleration. He says, what do? You tolerate this woman Jezebel. She calls herself a prophet, and by her teaching, she misleads her servants into immorality, sexual immorality, and the eating of food sacrificed to idols. Jesus gives this statement, this sweeping indictment of spiritual wickedness. He says, you've tolerated Jezebel. She was a literal woman in a literal church in a literal city. This is reality. She was leading the church to live a life of fornication. How many of you have listened on the news over the years where they're attacking the leaders of the Catholic Church for doing what? For doing inappropriate things with little boys. Just because you're in the church don't mean you won't do something wrong. And it's not just a Catholic thing, it's a Protestant thing as well. Many times, Pastor Joy and I have been watching the news, and some person is indicted for molesting a child who was in the ministry. How many of you have heard about that before? Yes. It's the same thing in the first century. And he says, you know what you're doing as a church? You know about it, and you're tolerating it. You're covering up for her. Why? Because she's a prophet. And you say, prophets aren't perfect. You're covering up for. There's an internal problem. And the Lord says to them, listen, you've got to deal with this cancer, if you will. She wasn't on the outside of the body of believers causing a negative influence. She was one of them. And the indictment on the church is, you tolerate this. I've known churches over the years. I've known churches, they say, well, you know, pastor, you know, he got in trouble. What happened? Well, you know, he had a little lady friend on the side. I know one right now who had an affair. It was known all over everywhere. He's still the pastor. We could be there in 15 minutes. I'm sorry. If that happens to the church and the pastor, guess what? He needs to go. You can't do this. You can't do it. There's an internal problem, this cancer. It needs to be extracted. And the indictment on the church is they put up with this. The word tolerate in the original language says You allow this person to do this. You allow it. You permit it. You put up with it. It's a strong word. It's an indicting word. I guess my question is, in your own life today, what is it that you're tolerating? What is it? What is that shortcoming in your life? And you don't need anybody to help you with it. You don't need your husband to turn to the wife or the wife to turn to the husband. And you don't need to tap your kid on the shoulder or they tap you on the shoulder. If there's a shortcoming in your life, I'm convinced you know about it. I wonder what we tolerate. We know that it's there. We understand it doesn't please the Lord. We know it's a Jezebel in our life. And while we do have good things in our life, while we do incredible things in our life, there's this secret thing, this thing that we allow. And for this church, it was the influence of this woman named Jezebel. Some have affirmed that the church's foundation was built. This very church, this Thyatira church, was built on the foundation of women. Many churches have grown and been developed on a core group of women getting together. I mean, listen, that's not uncommon. Even in the 21st century, there are more women on the earth than there are men on the earth. And women go to church more than men do. And many a church has been started from a woman's prayer gathering in a home somewhere. As a matter of fact, if you trace Carpenter Shop all the way back, it was a Bible study in Powellsville at a woman's house that started this church. A Bible study in a woman's home in Powellsville. And here we are today. So this church in Thyatira more than likely was begun by a woman named Lydia. You say, how so, Pastor? Because the book of Acts chapter number 16 says this. Listen to these verses 13 and 14. On the Sabbath, the Bible here in Luke's writings, in the book of Acts, he says this. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river. We expected to find a place where we could just pray. Just find a place of solitude and pray. And we sat down and we began to speak to who? The women there. They were gathered. One of those listening was a woman of the city of Thyatira. Only two places in the Bible Thyatira mentioned, here and in our text today. There was a woman of the city of Thyatira, and her name was what? Lydia. She was a dealer in purple cloth. It was known off the coast of Thyatira in that body of water. They would extract a specific sea worm type of creature that when pressed, would extract purple extraction, and they would use that to dye the cloth purple. And here's a woman named Lydia. She works in that trade. This church in Thyatira was known for guilds, leather work, and tanners, and tanners of the hide, and all of these things, these little guilds, these little trades that were operative, making Thyatira a big trade city. And Lydia was one of them, and it's believed, because we have no credit to the establishment of the church at Thyatira by the Apostle Paul or someone else, but Lydia probably started the church. So guess what? Lydia probably had a tremendous amount of influence on women, godly women, not just one or two, but several godly women. But guess what? In the midst of these godly women, there was Jezebel. Not literally by name. I don't think name was Jezebel. I think this was a reference. I think it was a reference back to the Old Testament. Verse 20 says that there's this woman there whom Jesus referred to as a Jezebel, who makes personal claims of being more influential in the church than some of the rest of them. She said, call me a prophetess. Her real name was probably not Jezebel. But that name that Christ ascribed to her is a name that was doing something. It was indicating her character. He was connecting her back, I believe, to the first king's woman, Jezebel, who was the wicked wife of a king by the name of who? Ahab. You read the story, 1 Kings 16:33. It was one of the difficulties that was taking place there was that they had combined the worship of God with the worship of Baal, which resulted in this indictment in 1 Kings 16:33. And Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more, listen to this, Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger. He made God mad than all the kings of Israel that were before him. She was evil. Jezebel was evil. She was responsible for doing what? Killing Naboth and stealing his vineyard for her husband. And she had killed, if you study this, she had killed practically all of the old prophets except Elijah. And Elijah stands up and reads her mail. And he says, let me tell you something, woman. I prophesy you that you're going to be the lunch for Fido and his dogs. And if you read 2 Kings chapter 9, 33 to 35, somewhere in there, you'll discover that this prophecy came to pass. Her flesh was fed to the dogs. So Jesus likens this woman in the church in Thyatira to her. She's dangerous, she's evil, she's wicked. And he begins to deal with her. Look at what it says in verse 21 of our text. It says, I have given her time. I've given her time to repent of what? Her immorality. But she likes it. She's gaining from this. I've given her time, but she is unwilling. Let me ask you a question. How many times has the Lord dealt with you about that thing that you know he's dealt with you about? And you just come out of the, you go out of the church again, you come back next week, and still, you're still doing the same thing. And you feel conviction. You know when the presence of the Lord comes, you know this is not right. You know when you read your word at home or listen to the radio going down the road, down the highway, and you know that it's not right. But what you've done is you begin to tolerate this thing in your life. Many times you think about getting rid of it, dealing with it, because in your heart you know it's wrong. And Jesus says that his grace was there to give this woman time. The thing of it that we don't know is how much time will we have. She didn't repent. Why? Because she didn't want to. The Lord had brought her conviction. God does this. He has a long track record of bringing righteousness to the forefront. Look at his character from all the way from Genesis to Revelation. Even in the Garden of Eden, what does he do? He comes when Adam and Eve have sinned against God, the only commandment that they had. And God comes walking through the garden in the cool of the day. And just his presence causes them to run. They run. And he says, where are you, Adam? Where art thou? He wasn't asking him where he was physically. He was asking him, where are you in light of my commandment? He knew where he was. He's in the bushes naked. He's saying, where are you? And that's what the Lord says to us when worship time comes, when the presence of God settles in and we feel his presence, we feel the presence of the Holy Spirit, and then we work ourselves up to the Word of God every Sunday. And when the Word is proclaimed, we have to do business with the Holy Ghost. He's given her time. God has a track record of giving time. God has a long fuse. God's always done this because of what? Because of his mercy. Because of his grace. He did this in the days of Noah. Noah was an Old Testament preacher of righteousness. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 7. I like what the New Living Translation says here. It says, it was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God, who warned him about the things that had never happened before. And by his faith, look at this powerful verse. By his faith, Noah condemned the rest of the world. You know what Noah did by the building of the boat? By his faith, Noah brought conviction to everybody that passed by. He's building this boat. People saw it. They watched this man build this boat in his front yard. Day one, board one, he's driving the nails. He starts out building of this ark, and his message to the world is, God condemns sin. You don't build a 450 boat in your front yard and people not see it. People came by, what you doing, Noah? And you know what he would do? Lay the hammer down. He'd say, I'm building an ark to the saving of my household. Why are you doing that? Because there's a day coming when the door's going to be shut. And all who are in the ark of safety. This is salvation. Remember Jesus' words? As it was in the days of Noah. The same thing is taking place now. Conviction comes on people, and people ask folk, won't you come to church with me? Church, man, I need a weekend off. That's what they'll tell you. What are you doing this for? And Noah's message was the same of God's coming. Genesis declared this, that all of the thoughts and the intents of the heart of man was what? Only evil. And the ark was the salvation for mankind. And the open door was the entrance to relationship with God. And people had time. And it took Noah time to build this massive boat. And the bigger it got, the more people had questions. And the bigger it got, the more people laughed at Noah and said, man, you shouldn't be worried about that. God loves everybody. That's what people would tell you today. Oh, you know, God loves you, man. He's not going to hold you responsible for that. He's a loving God. He's a God that's calls for accountability. That's the way it is today. Church, you kidding me, man? I had a rough night last night. Need to rest. It's raining. Plus, I lost an hour. So what do? We tolerate laziness. We tolerate trifling attitudes. We tolerate complacency. Tolerate, because you know what? Some people, let me just be honest with you. Some people don't come to church because they know when they come to church, they're going to get in the presence of God and they're going to feel like they're just not in a good spot. Some people come after the offering. That way they don't have to feel convicted because they don't tithe. Hello? And so you tolerate sin. You tolerate those things which ultimately can lead you away from God. And then there's the time that comes when Noah, he's got the boat built. And then God Almighty has this innate feeling among the animals. And two bears come walking up. Where are you going? Going on the boat. They just have this understanding. I know our little dog, you know, Lovey, when we get ready to, when you pull a suitcase out at our house, man, she goes ballistic. She goes, oh, Lord, they're leaving again. Lovey, she's under the bed. Why? Because she saw the luggage. Dogs are smart. Have you ever heard somebody say this? You better be careful, man. Pet the dog because dog can tell when you're scared of them. Come on. And the animals of the world have a keen sense of understanding. And they knew. Noah didn't spend his time running around saying, I finally caught two. He didn't. Guess what they did? They walked on. I wish the mosquitoes would have stayed off the boat. And the rattlesnakes. You know, why can't we just have on the boat like cows, pigs, things that you can cook on the grill, you know? But here's my point. Even the, you know, the Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God. The earth displays his splendor. Even God's creation understood, hey, we need to get on that boat. And people didn't do it. God spared eight people. Noah, Sister Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their wives. Eight people. And the message the whole time, a long message. Get ready. There's going to come a day when the door will be shut. The wrath of God is coming upon the earth. And people didn't listen. And the Holy Spirit does the same thing to you and I. And whatever it is that we tolerate, you know, we just keep on tolerating. And guess what? The more you tolerate it, the easier it is to do it. God dealt with Jezebel. He did. He dealt with her, and she never repented. You know why? She didn't want to. Some of you got husbands. You come to church every week. You love the Lord. You pray for them. You've asked him to come with you. He ain't coming. He's not coming. You say, well, Pastor, what do I do? You keep coming. And you don't bother him about church. You know how you win him to the kingdom? You just love him in all of his ways. You just love him anyway. Even if he doesn't do what he's supposed to do, you love him anyway. And you'll love him right into the kingdom. It may be late, but you'll love him right into the kingdom. Why didn't she repent? She didn't want to. Why haven't you repented of what you tolerate? You say, yeah, you know, I'm pretty good guy. I got this one little thing. Why do you have this one little thing? You know why you have this one little thing? Because you want that one little thing. It's hard to get delivered from demons you enjoy playing with. It's hard to get delivered from demons that you enjoy playing with, entertaining. John 3, verses 19 and 20, a piercing word from the writer of John's gospel again, the writer of Revelation. This is the verdict. This is what he says. Light has come into the world, but check this out. But people love darkness instead of the light. I'm just reading the Bible to you guys. Light has come into the world. People's general response is they love darkness better than they do light. Their deeds were evil. Verse 20, everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds might be exposed. You see people, you know, when the altar service begins, there's more exit. People going out the door, shoo, they're gone. I'm just telling you the truth. What do you want me to do, lie to you, make you feel like you're great? You just do it all good. No, we don't. None of us. There is not one righteous. No, not one. So the Holy Spirit's moving. The worship team has come back. They're on the platform, and the Holy Spirit settles in, and the Word of God's been proclaimed. Where are you going? Get something to eat. What you really need to eat is here. There's people that can't sit through an entire worship service without stepping outside to have a cigarette. Can't do it. Or by the time they get outside, phew, phew, wow, thank God. What? Thank God. I was about to go ballistic in there. That's what you really need. You need to go ballistic. You need to fall on your face and say, God, take this from me. Take this from me. The Holy Spirit. Pastor, I will be glad when you get out of Revelation. Why? The Word of God from Genesis to Revelation brings conviction to sin. It does. You can't find a book that doesn't deal with somehow humanity and their need for God. You can't find a book from Genesis to Revelation that doesn't deal with humanity and God's tremendous love for you. You can't find it. It's the embodiment of God's Word. Jesus Christ loves you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jezebel didn't repent. So look at what he says here. Verses 22 and 23. So I will cast her on a bed of suffering. And I'll make those who commit adultery with her suffer intensely. Lest they repent of her ways. Verse 23. I'll strike her kids dead. Then all the churches will know. I'm the one who has the piercing eyes. I'm the one who can see beyond your stuff. I'm the one who searches the hearts and the minds, and I will repay each of you according to your deeds. You know, I've said it many times before in my life as a pastor. Salvation's easy, man. Lordship's work. Salvation's easy. How many of you feel like the Lord's dealing with your heart and you want to give your heart to Christ? Come forward, let me pray with you. Father, in the name of Jesus, say this prayer to me. Lord Jesus, forgive us. We go through all the motions. But when you walk out, guess what? It's time for lordship, baby. That is different. Because lordship, salvation requires nothing of me. Lordship requires my life. Are you getting that? Salvation requires nothing. It is a gift of God. It is the free gift of eternal life from God. But lordship will cost you your life. Some people want to be saved. They don't want to go to hell, but they sure don't want to live the way they should while they're here. That's why these letters are not written to pagans and ungodly people from Thyatira. It's written to the church. It's written to the church. And Jesus says, I've got eyes to look inside of you and see you for who you are, Jezebel. And you've got a chance to repent. And she didn't. So what does he say? Look at 24 and 25. Well, the rest of you, listen to me then. Good. Okay. To you who do not hold to her teaching and haven't learned Satan's so-called deep prophetic things, I'm not going to impose any other burden on you. Verse 25, but I tell you this, hold on to what you have till I come. Jesus speaks to the godly remnant here, the ones who were not influenced by Jezebel. And he says, hold on to what you have until I come. I'm not going to go any further here. I'm not going to finish this longest letter. Well, I wanted to know what the morning star was. Study your Bible. Well, I wanted to know what, study it. You got more tools than any person on the earth has ever had in the 21st century to study the Bible. I'm just going to say to you who are doing everything that you can to honor salvation and live a life of lordship, keep doing what you're doing. Keep doing it. The words of my wise mentor friend are words that will never escape my mind. What does the doctor do when he discovers that someone has cancer? He tries to cut it out. Why? So that it doesn't metastasize. So that it doesn't spread throughout the body and bring destruction to humanity. When you know that you have a sin, you know what? My goal here today is not to make you miserable. It really isn't. You say, well, man, I noticed he was looking at me when he said that. No, that's the Holy Spirit, okay? I wasn't looking at you for that reason. Well, he looked at me like three times. Especially when he said something about the drink and the cigarette. He's looking at me. No, I wasn't looking at you. I can't see you, okay? Ask anybody on the platform. I can't see you, okay? I'm seeing lights. So I'm not looking at you. But I tell you who is looking at you. The one who has eyes as a blazing fire. He's looking at you. And you know when you have a toleration for sin. You know. A sin that he already died for. Thank you, Lord. A sin that when he was on the cross, he cried out, it's finished! It's done! Know what he did? He died for every sin that you ever committed. He shed his blood for it. You come to him today, and you know what you do? You confess your sin. I never will forget when I was a student at NC State University. I majored in pest management. Dr. Charles G. Wright was a great Christian man who attended what is today Focus Church. First Assembly of God. I remember Dr. Charles G. Wright, who taught me entomology. That's the study of insects. I remember him bringing cockroaches to class and saying they're filled with protein. And he would stand there and he would go, and he would eat cockroaches. And he would say, I know you guys are having a struggle with this, but he said they're protein filled. Okay? He said, some of you just don't want anything to do with a cockroach. And he said, it's not good to have cockroaches in your house. He said, really, it's not a bad thing to have roaches in your house. But this is what he said that I've never forgotten. But he said, it is bad to have cockroaches and not try to stop them. Because you know what they'll do? They'll lay hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of eggs. And in a matter of days, you'll have more roaches than you've ever had. The same is true of this sin. Do you know what will happen if you're harboring or faking it on an area or You know, maybe you're doing some inappropriate things. You know what happens when you just kind of overlook it. You build resistance toward conviction. God doesn't deal with you about it anymore. And then you'll add something else to it. Listen, if you're here today and you say, man, he is just whooping us. No, I'm not. But you know what? You got to understand something. If I don't tell you the truth, if I'm not dead level honest with you, and listen, you can find a commentary out there. My son can tell you. You can find a commentary out there, will take Revelation, and it does not mean anything that I've just said. Is that right, Josh? Absolutely. You can find commentaries out there that will take every church in the book of Revelation, and it does not mean what I've told you. There's doctrines out there to propagate that the book of Revelation is really not what that's about. So you can find, if you want to find a doctrine to support your feelings, you can find it. You can find a commentary that will line up with your theology. But I'm going to stand before God one day, and I'm going to stand and give an account of everything that I've ever taught you, everything that I've ever preached to you, everything. And guess what? I give a stronger judgment than you do. I'm more accountable to God than you are. Why? Because I'm one of his called ones. I get judged with a harsher judgment on my life, my teaching, my practice, everything. First John 1:9. I love this verse. If you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He'll take your sins, the Bible says, and cast them into the sea of forgetfulness, never again to ever be remembered against you anymore. Never. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for salvation. Come on, thank him right where you are. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for saving us. Thank you for redeeming us. Thank you, Lord, for dealing with us. Thank you, Father, that by your Holy Spirit, you're laying your finger on things right now in the lives of your people, those people that are watching by way of technology today, watching us on an app or on Facebook or on the website. There are many opportunities for people to hear, not just this word, but all over the earth today, all over the United States today, preachers are preaching your truth. Today's a day that it's proclaimed. It's Sunday. Thank you for bringing the word. Thank you for building this tremendous boat in front of us and letting us know that one day you will shut the door. And for allowing us to have already wandered in through something we call grace. If you're here today, and you know what, I extend this to you with a heart of love. No one is here to condemn you. No one is here to cast judgment against you. It's like the professor said, it's not bad to have cockroaches. It's bad to have them and not do something about it. It's normal to have sinful practices. You're born that way. But it's not normal and not good for you to know it and not deal with it. Young person, come on. Doesn't matter if you're the oldest one in the building. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, there are issues in my life. Come on, stand up right where you are. Stand. Come on, there are issues in my life. I know God's dealing with you. Listen, we don't go through teaching like this. We don't go through preaching like this and the Holy Spirit not bring conviction. There's conviction in this room. If you know the Holy Spirit has touched your heart on something that you're dealing with, stand to your feet right now. Come on. I challenge you, stand up, stand up. You know it's there. Stand up, stand up. Come on, stand up. Stand up. The Holy Spirit, your heart is beating right now. Stand up. Stand up. And half the battle is over when you stood to your feet. Then you should already feel the weight of that being released because you're being honest with yourself. And you're honest with God. And we just want to say thank you for just being gut level honest. God, there are things you're dealing with me in my heart. Somebody asked me the other day, man, why are you wearing one of them bracelets? You had a problem with drugs? I keep that on my arm for a reason. How about the little bracelet? What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? There are things in my life that I want to say, God, here it is. I just give it to you, Lord. The word here today says that he dealt with Jezebel, and you know what? She didn't repent. Why? Because she didn't want to. He said, I kept on. She didn't want to. And you know, there's a verse there that says, he says, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm not just going to visit her. I'm going to visit her. I'm going to visit her kids. I'm going to visit everybody she's had anything to do with. Do you know that the sin that you and I walk in, if we don't bring it under the blood of Jesus, that it'll show up in your kids' lives, it'll show up in your grandchildren's lives? He said, I'll visit the third and the fourth generation. It'll go right on down the line, and it'll show that same behavior in your offspring unless you bring it to the cross. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, right where you are, just lift your hands. Just lift your hands. Those of you that are standing, just lift your hands. Just lift your hands right where you are and just love on him. Come on, sing it, guys. Step out of your seat. Those of you that are standing, just step out of your seat and come on down here to this altar. Come on, step out of your seat. Come on down. Come on down. Just get in his presence. Get here. Close your eyes. Just close your eyes. And let the Holy Spirit just minister his love to you. Not condemnation. Don't feel condemned. Feel free. Don't feel judged. Feel released. Don't feel imperfect. Feel pardoned. Forgiven. Forgiven. The Lord is in this place.
The Lord is in this place.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word today.
The Lord is in this place. The Lord is in this place. Come, Holy Spirit, dry bones awaken. The Lord is in this place.
Thank you, Lord. Just do business with the Lord. Just talk to him. Thank him for forgiveness. Lord, thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you for altars full. Thank you for people's lives touched. Thank you for hearts released, God. Thank you for just dealing with us today, Lord. Thank you, God, for showing us the secret places. Thank you, us, for helping us, God, to, when we're faking it, God, just to do the real thing. Could I just get some people just to come and come on, just come and stand here and lay your hands on somebody.
Not for a minute.
Come on, stand here and lay your hands
for
on somebody. Discovered in my own life years ago is that there were areas in my life where I, well, there's no way to say it. There's areas in your life where you're faking it. You want to portray you got this together, but there was areas in my life that I struggled. And can I just tell you something? When you're honest with yourself, you know what God also does? He changes the desires of your heart. You no longer want that anymore. That's why when we're sitting here today, you know what we discover? That there are Christians who maybe you used to have an issue with this or you used to have an issue with that. No longer is an issue anymore. Not an issue. Maybe he's working on something else, you know. Now he's working on another area of your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. You give it to Him, and then there becomes a liberty and a freedom. No longer bound. No longer bound. Jesus. worship God. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your hands and worship Him.
So can rest my righteousness is found in You. With every moment, every borrowed breath, let this be true.
Every borrowed breath, let this
you, Lord. The Word of God comes not to condemn. The Word of God comes to convict, not to condemn. Remember when Jesus comes to this woman in the scripture, she's caught in adultery. And Jesus goes over, and those men that are standing there with stones, Jesus goes over and he just leans down and he starts writing in the sand. I think I know what he was writing. The names of the ones who were standing there that she'd had sex with. Yeah, Joshua, Caleb, John, Billy. I don't know their names. Bud, Sam, Jerry. We all got, everybody in here's got the same name that somebody had. So, yeah. He starts writing names down. And the men, you know what they're doing? They're like, put the rock down, sir. Where are you going? Where are you going? Because they knew their name was next. And she said, the Lord says to her, he says, where are your accusers? And in tears, she says, there are none, Lord. And he says, neither do I condemn you. And he says what he says to a lot of people, go and sin no more. You know what he was saying? Stop doing that. Stop doing that. Don't do that. Stop cheating on your taxes. Stop withholding your tithe. Stop being jealous. Stop losing your temper and cussing your wife out. Don't do that. He doesn't condemn you. He just says, don't do this anymore. Your life will be better if you don't. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Every one of us. Every one of us. But he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement that brought us peace was upon his back. Shoo, pow. Every stripe he took for that thing that you're faking right now. Every stripe he took for that little sin that you're trying to hold on to. It's already done. So your prayer should be, Father, thank you for dying for this, okay? Thank you that I don't have to do this anymore. Thank you for liberating me. Thank you for unlocking the chains that hold me back. Thank you that I'm a free man. Thank you, Lord. I'm confident your faithfulness will see me through. My soul can now what? Can rest. Why? Because my righteousness is found in you. My righteousness is found in you. We're not righteous. That's why we have cuss words come through our head that exceed out of our mouth. We're not righteous. Pastor, do you cuss? Yes, I have. When? I don't know when the last time it was. I didn't want to, but I said a word I shouldn't say. Anybody join me? Come on. You said words you shouldn't say? Why'd you say it? Because you're not righteous. Your righteousness is found in him. My righteousness is found in you. With every moment left, every borrowed breath, everything's from this day forward, let this be true, that all my heart, for all my life, Lord, it belongs to you. I'll tell you where this worship team's taking you. They're taking you on a journey to begin to listen to what you sing. Those moments in the lull where you should receive the words that are written into your spirit, contemplate them. Sing that again, would you? Come on, stand with me one more time. It's raining anyway. Come on, stand up. I'm confident. Let him sing that over you today. I give you every bit of it, Lord, even the thing I'm holding back.
All of it. All my life belongs to you.
Going to ask you if you haven't given blood today, if you can. People need blood. We don't have a large goal, 20 units. If you haven't, you can go back to the back and register and give blood today. They're here till 2 o'clock. If you didn't turn in your baby bottle today, you can turn that in this week as soon as you can. Thank you for giving to Family Center of Ahoskie, blessing them. Pastor Josh, would you close this, man? Thank you, Lord.
Father, we just thank you for this time together, God, and we just ask that what we've heard today would go with us, that we would carry it with us like a weight, that we would constantly be reminded as we go through our week to focus on you, to focus on your word, to focus on your teaching, to love others like you love us, and to be more and more like you as you allow us through your spirit every day. In your name we pray, amen.